Well, this is part two of talking about forgiveness. Last week, if you missed it, we're talking about what Jesus has done for us. It was God's idea to come up with forgiveness, the release of all of our guilt and all the consequences that go with that, what he went through, unbelievable, that we can receive that. And then we left off with this verse. I just want to dive right in today with where we left off and what Jesus said. And by the way, you know, God is fully invested in our complete freedom, right? He's done it all. He didn't leave anything out there undone. He's fully invested, had poured himself out for our complete freedom. So in any and every way where we're not free, he's paid for that. So I've got to find a way to receive that. And some of this we're going to talk about today. Jesus said after he taught the disciples how to pray, when they asked him, at the end of that prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, Jesus said, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But," verse 15, "if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." That is a heavy-duty statement. It is the freedom that Jesus has purchased for us with a caveat, that thing. Right? There's something that we have to do to receive the forgiveness that has been purchased for us. We have to be able to forgive others, regardless of what they have done to us. If we don't, then we block the forgiveness that is intended for us to receive. That is a principle that is in the air, that is universal, that is for every single person. No one is exempt from that. We all have to be willing to forgive any and every person to receive full forgiveness. That freedom that Jesus paid for, I can miss out if I am unwilling to give the same forgiveness away. It's pretty amazing how that works, but it just does. And probably the most difficult thing, some of the most difficult things at least in our lives as a follower of Jesus, I'm going to say, has to do with dying to ourselves daily. And Jesus said it's a daily thing, right? Take up your cross and follow me daily. There's a crucifixion of our own carnal nature, our own selfish desires, and also the offenses that we can easily grab a hold of. So dying to myself every day also means this for all of us, that we die to the right to be offended. To die to a right to be offended. That's dying to myself. That's actually part of the forgiveness as well. Dying to the right to be treated well by everybody. Dying to my right to be fully understood by everybody. And the right to have my opinion heard. All of those things. There's so many places where we can get offended. And if we aren't dying to ourselves, then, oh my goodness, there's a lot of places that I'm going to get ticked off and upset at God and other people. If I'm the one sitting on the throne instead of the king, I'm going to get really upset a lot of times. And those offenses are going to create a bitterness in me, and they're going to restrict me from freedom. They're going to restrict me from the forgiveness that Jesus wants to give me. I've seen it in my life. I'm talking about firsthand experience. My guess is that you have had some of this firsthand experience as well. We have to forgive. There's total forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about this, about not even keeping a record of wrongs done to us by other people. You know, that's God-like. He's enabled us to do that, that when you are wronged and then you forgive, you choose to forgive and you let it go, that the record of that begins to start dissolving and erasing on the inside of your heart and your mind. That's part of what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us with that so that we can be like the Lord with that type of a heart where things as far as the east is to the west, they just disappear. They're not on the books anymore internally. That's total forgiveness. That's the kind of forgiveness, the brand of forgiveness that you and I are called to live because of what Jesus has given to us. We can walk in the way that he walked. We can live with that type of heart. The enemy wants to restrict you in any way possible. He wants to restrict your movements in the spirit. He wants to restrict your relationships. He wants to restrict your freedom so that you're bound to different things. And this area right here is huge. This area of forgiveness or unforgiveness. It is a restriction. The enemy loves it. He's going to try and get you to be offended by God. He's going to try and get you to be offended by people, whether they're strangers or they're close. It doesn't matter to him because he knows that we will be restricted if we are offended and we do not forgive. There are a lot of bound believers. There are a lot of bound Christians. There are a lot of people, and I've been one of them at times in my life that have been caught with internal torment because of what people have done to me. And I wasn't forgiving yet. I was not free. And the enemy tries to get these hooks of unforgiveness in us, small hooks and big hooks, just to keep us from going where we need to go and doing what we need to do. He just tries to hook us with, and that's what unforgiveness is. That's what offense does. It hooks us to the enemy, really. And Jesus gave us a heads up as well about the future. And he said this, and people are experiencing this right now around the world in many nations. Matthew 24, verse 9, it says, "Then they will deliver you to tribulation." This is the heads up for every person that decides to follow Jesus. Guess what? It's not all roses, right? Jesus said, they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. Some of you, some of us may die in here. Do you realize that? Probably not as likely in this country as other countries, but this is what Jesus is saying. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Wow, we can see that growing in our own country right now, can't you? There's a hatred for people who name the name of Jesus. I've never heard of any other leader of a religious organization whose name has been used as a swear word other than our Lord. It's the only one. His name is hated, misused, and those who follow him will be labeled all kind of things. That's happened through history. It will continue to happen throughout the world. But you know what? Regardless, Jesus is saying, I'm giving you the ability, the tools, the spirit to live free of offense regardless of what's done to you. I'm giving you what you need to stay free on the inside so you can be free on the outside. And however you're treated, it's not going to matter. You're going to fulfill your purpose, your calling. In fact, I believe that no one can fulfill their calling and their purpose on this planet without going through these tests of passing, getting free of bitterness and offense. And you know what? We may fail those tests for a while, but the Lord's patient. He gives us chances over and over again. He sent people, some of them have been in this room, who've come to me. And the Lord spoke to them that I had something of bitterness on the inside of me. I didn't even know I had it. It was true. As soon as she spoke those words to me, I knew it was the Holy Spirit just said, yep. So I just hit my knees and I said, Lord, get this out of me. Get this out of me. I didn't realize it was there, but I can feel that it is. Unhook that thing. And he did. Now I was able to forgive and release that. Sometimes we don't realize the bitterness that we're carrying. We don't realize the hooks that are caught in the inside of us. But the Lord knows he wants to set us free. He wants to help us. It takes humility to get free, but man, it's worth it. I remember speaking on a message similar to this many years ago. probably 20 some years ago, and there was a young woman. She was 17 years old. She was in the school of ministry that I was leading at the time. And at the very end, I just said, if you're feeling that you need to respond to the Lord, you've got offense of some kind, go ahead and stand up. And she felt the Holy Spirit say, stand up and take ownership of this. But she said, I couldn't think of one thing that I was offended at. I just felt the Holy Spirit say, respond to this. So she did. She had a severe arthritis. She could not walk or function without heavy doses of medication, 17 years old. She got in the car. As she was leaving, didn't feel anything necessarily after the prayer. And the presence of God filled her car. And the Lord began speaking to her, and she got healed. By responding, what initiated that was her response to the Holy Spirit to let go. And the Lord showed her what she was offended by, and to let that go. And the Lord touched her life in that moment. I remember another time, another student actually, when I was at that school, he came into my office one day, and he was in a fit of rage, is the best way I could describe it, and he was a big guy. And he came into my office, and he was clenching his fists like this, and he got right in my face, and I could have ripped my head off, honestly. And I said, I need you to leave the office right now, and I'll meet you in a half an hour, or something like that. He did. I was thankful. You turn around. I felt in my spirit, this is a spiritual battle. This is not a physical thing. This is a spiritual battle right here. So I went and got a couple of other pastors to help me when he came back. And he came into the room, and we started talking with him, started to pray. That rage just took him over. He hit the deck. It was carpeted a little bit like this. He started rolling like a crocodile in a death roll. He'd go across the floor to that wall, big guy, and then he'd come across back, and he'd come right up to my feet and stop, wouldn't hit me, go back. He was tearing the carpet, tore the skin off his knuckles. This anger and this rage, as we started just asking the Lord, what do we do here? What came out was he needs to forgive his dad. He's got a lot of anger toward his dad for the ways he was treated as a young man. And so we just started to say that, didn't know it necessarily, but began to say those things. He stopped his roll. And all of a sudden, these tears came out of his eyes, and he began to weep, and he started to ask the Lord to forgive him, and as he began to forgive his dad. And a demon of anger left him that moment. As he released forgiveness to his dad, he was forgiven. He was set free. I watched it right before my eyes. These things are real. They're very real. And we can be set free. If we could put up this first slide, Noah. Anybody know who that is? Frederick Douglass, amazing guy. You know, he born into slavery, never knew his parents. He got separated from them by force. He tried to escape twice and failed. On the third time, he was successful. Hit on a train and went north. He became the first African-American vice presidential candidate. An ambassador, statesman, incredible orator, author. He went through so many unspeakable horrors growing up. He had a lot of reasons to be offended. A whole lot more than probably you and I. But the Lord, once he got freed, he wrote that after he was freed, after he went north, he gets married, the Holy Spirit started convicting him for his unforgiveness toward his slave master who was down south. So you know what he did? He wrote a letter to him. Here, just a portion of the words of that letter. He said, I entertain no malice toward you personally. How about that right there to start out? There is no roof under which you would be more safe than mine. And there is nothing in my house which you might need for your comfort, which I would not readily grant to you. Indeed, I should esteem it a privilege to set you an example as to how mankind ought to treat each other. He was inviting his former slave master, who still would probably grab him and take him back south if he could have, to come stay with him, and he would treat him well. He had forgiven. He had been set free of the cancer of bitterness himself. And he, as he released this forgiveness to the one who had done him so much harm, who had mistreated him so much. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. Anyone who knows how it is? Corrie Ten Boom. That's her younger on the left, older on the right. Look at that big smile she's got. Most of you will know Corrie's story. If you haven't read The Hiding Place or watched the movie, it's a great one. They have a newer version as well, which I haven't seen yet. But she was protecting, hiding Jews when the Nazis came in. And her family was a watchmaker family. They had a business. Of course, someone ratted them out, and they got found out, arrested. She was thrown in a woman's labor camp, concentration camp, really mistreated. About 11 months she was there. If you can go to the next picture, those are some of the conditions of these women in this camp. This is an actual photo from that camp. You can go to the next one as well. And of course, a lot of dead bodies. She lost her sister. She lost her dad. And then she, through a clerical error, was set free accidentally. After she got free, she started to help those who had been in these type of camps, who had survived, and she did a lot of things, but she began to preach. And one day she was preaching in a church in Germany, and a man came up to her at the end of the service, and he extended his hand and asked for her forgiveness. And he was one of the prison guards that had been at her prison, mistreating her and her sister. And here he was standing right in front of her with his hand held out. Let me read you what she said. She said, "And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me," I prayed silently. She thought to herself, "I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling, Lord." And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, spraying into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried, with all my heart. Whew. It's powerful. Forgiveness is an act of the will, not an emotion. That's powerful. It's a choice. You choose to forgive. You decide, "I'm going to forgive. Jesus, help me. But I'm going to forgive, regardless of what's happened." In Matthew 18, I want to read this passage here, starting with verse 21. This is out of the Amplified. It says, "Then Peter came up to Jesus and said, 'Lord, how many times may my brother sin against me and I forgive him and let it go?'" Interesting context here. It's about his brother, not a brother in the faith, not a stranger, not a heathen. "Up to seven times, Lord?" Everyone knows this passage. Verse 22, Jesus answered him, "I tell you, no, not up to seven times, but 70 times seven. 490 times. In other words, as long as it takes. As often as it happens. You need to forgive. Therefore, then Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a human king who wished to settle accounts with his attendants. So he gives him this story. When he began the accounting, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, probably similar to around $10 million today. And because he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and everything that he possessed in payment to be made. Verse 26, so the attendant fell on his knees begging him, have patience with me, I will pay you everything. And his master's heart was moved with compassion and he released him and forgave him, canceling the debt. But the same attendant, as he went out, now free, found one of his fellow attendants who owed him 100 denarii, about $20 worth, and he caught him by the throat and said, pay what you owe. So his fellow attendant fell down and begged him earnestly, give me time and I will pay you all. But he was unwilling, and he went out and had him put in prison till he should pay the debt. When his fellow attendants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed when they went out and told everything that had taken place to their master. Then his master called him and said to him, you contemptible and wicked attendant, I forgave and canceled all that great debt of yours because you begged me to. And should you not have pity and mercy on your fellow attendant as I have had pity and mercy on you? And in wrath, his master turned him over to the torturers or the jailers until he should pay all that he owed. So also, then Jesus says, after telling that story, so also my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you who do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses. Again, the context is about someone in the family of faith. People who are like us. I've found it personally the most difficult to forgive those who know the Lord, who've offended me and have hurt me and have done horrible things to me. That's been more difficult than someone who didn't know the Lord, who was just flipping me off in traffic. That one wasn't as big of a deal as someone who is close to you or you know they know better. And then the record plays after they wrong you over and over why they would do that. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? It goes over and over and over. And if I don't forgive, Jesus says here, the master will turn him over to the torturers till everything is paid. So also my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you. Guess what? It's what Jesus said. I've got this great forgiveness for all of your sin, the depth of sin, whatever you've committed, I'll forgive. Just one thing you need to do, forgive everyone who offends and does wrong to you. If that doesn't happen, if we don't forgive, there is our soul, heart, mind, however this works, is tortured. How many of you experienced that? The torture of unforgiveness. Yeah, I have too. I've had nights where I could not sleep. And some of it were times when I was trying to forgive, but it's like I just couldn't. It just kept going back to that thing. And I'm tortured in my mind and in my heart with replays. Replays. And sometimes it was what I wanted to do back to them. Or wanting God to get them. I'm just telling you, I hate to say, I'm admitting my weaknesses, but I have done that. I had someone threaten to kill me, and I wanted to chase them down. I wanted them to pay for what they threatened me, or at least get caught or something. I've had other things I won't repeat that were done to me that just were, it was like they knew better. Why did this happen? And it went so deep that it took a long time to get completely released of that. And sometimes forgiveness is a process. Sometimes it's choosing it every day, 10 times a day. Sometimes you just have to, sometimes you just get up and say, I forgive that person. I forgive them. I'm setting my will that direction. Jesus, you supply the emotion. You supply the the what's needed, like Corey did. Depends what we need, but the Lord, he can do it. And in this story that Jesus is telling, he's saying, listen, the person who was forgiven by the master, that debt was 500,000 times greater than the debt owed him. But he was forgiven. And I think Jesus is also saying, do you realize what you've been forgiven of? It's 500,000 times greater than anything that someone will do to you. It really is. We have eternal life now. All of our sin cleansed. Eternity we get with God, though we've all offended him. Amazing what Jesus has done. Revenge doesn't make the torturers go away. Justice doesn't even make him go away. Do you realize that? You could clamor for justice, and justice is done for that person. They are in the slammer for the rest of their life, or they get the death penalty even. Guess what? You could still be tortured. Time doesn't fix it either. If it's 1,000 years, that doesn't stop the torture on the inside. What happened? The only thing that fixes it is forgiveness. The only thing that releases a torment to being tortured for what has been done to you or to someone else that you know, and you've got secondhand offense, and that happens often as well. The person that I was told you with the, had arthritis, that got healed when she was 17, it was secondhand offense. It was what had been done to her parents, not to her personally. But the only thing that releases that in our heart and our mind is forgiveness. I want to play this short video. It's like 3 minutes long. If you can go ahead and cue that. This is from the movie Les Miserables, the first one, not the singing one.
Is anybody there? So we'll use wooden spoons. I don't want to hear anything more about it.
I'm sorry to disturb you.
You caught him.
But I had my eye on this man.
Oh, and thank God. I'm very angry with you, Jean Valjean.
What happened to your eye, Monseigneur?
Didn't he tell you he was our guest last night?
Oh, yes. After we searched his knapsack and found all this silver, he claimed that you gave it to him.
Yes. Of course I gave him the silverware. But why didn't you take the candlesticks? That was very foolish. Madame Gillot, fetch the silver candlesticks. They're worth at least 2,000 francs. Why did you leave them? Hurry. Monsieur Valjean has to get going. He's lost a lot of time. Did you forget to take them?
Are you saying he told us the truth?
Of course. Thank you for bringing him back. I'm very relieved.
Release him.
You're really letting me go?
Didn't you understand the bishop?
Madame Gillot, offer these men some wine. They must be thirsty.
Thank you.
Don't forget. Don't ever forget. You've promised to become a new man.
Promise? Why are you doing this?
Jean Valjean, my brother, You no longer belong to evil. With this silver, I've bought your soul. I've ransomed you from fear and hatred. And now I give you back to God.
It's a powerful scene. If you haven't seen it, it's a good movie. And of course, Jean Valjean goes on to live a great life and help other people and give of himself. It really changes him. But just the point of how he was forgiven and released, that bishop set him free. Not only from the chains that were physically on him, but on the inside, forgiveness, when we give it, can set another person free. Even if they don't know that you've done it. It's a spiritual thing. Jesus talked about that. When you forgive the sins of others, they're forgiven. When you retain the sins of others, they're retained. Pretty amazing that we have that power to let go, to release other people as well. And then the benefits for us, there's a freedom for us when we forgive. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." Many are defiled by bitterness. Bitterness defiles. It starts to change the way that you think. Bitterness is a poison. It's an absolute poison. Dudley Hall, a preacher out of Texas, said this one day. He said, "Bitterness is like swallowing a pill of poison, hoping that the one who harmed us gets sick." Bitterness is like swallowing a pill of poison, hoping that the one who offended us gets sick. It doesn't work. They're not getting sick, we are. And unforgiveness leads to bitterness. It's a poison. None of us in here can afford it. Our entire lives, none of us can afford to be bitter. Our mindset will start to shift and change, finding ourselves aloof from God, from others, and thinking thoughts that are not true. We can miss Jesus. We can miss what he has for us. We can miss full freedom and all that he wants to bless us with. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, suffering, going through everything he was going through, perfectly innocent, having done everything right, helped, healed, delivered, set free, spoke truth, all that he did, and now he's getting mistreated, horrifically, being crucified. Matthew 27, verse 33 says, "And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull," you remember he had said he was thirsty. His one request, "I'm thirsty." It says they gave him wine to drink mingled with gall. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink it. In the midst of his maybe most difficult moment, and the one thing he asks is for something to drink, they give him something bitter to swallow. And I think this is a spiritual context in here as well as obviously a natural one. And it says he refused to drink it. He refused to swallow bitterness in the midst of being mistreated. And I think that was probably one of the final tests that he passed, one of the final victories that he had was right there, because soon after that, "Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. It's finished." This bitterness thing is a choice that each of us make, oftentimes in the midst of difficult situations, in the midst of being mistreated. We either swallow a pill of bitterness or we release someone from a prison of chains. We do one or the other. You're either gonna swallow this thing and let this poison grow on the inside, or we're just gonna keep releasing. We're gonna keep releasing, we're gonna keep releasing. We're going to do what Jesus did and forgive and even ask the Father to forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That was the kind of forgiveness that Jesus gave, was that kind. He was unwilling to drink it. What if we all said in our hearts, even today, "I am going to be unwilling to drink bitterness for the rest of my life. Lord willing, and you help me, but the moment that I'm offered that pill, Lord, help me to spit that out and be unwilling to take into myself bitterness of any kind. I'm telling you what, that is a free person. That's a free person. Maybe we'll pray that at the end here. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have a list of, I'm not going to read this for the sake of time here, but Romans chapter 11, the heroes of the faith, you get a list of these people. Here's just a couple of things. It says that they endured mocking, scourgings, chains, imprisonment, stonings. They were sawn in two, tempted, put to death with a sword, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Yet they set their hope on something ahead of them. They were not swallowing those pills of bitterness. They were looking ahead. They were loving Jesus, focused on him, realizing, you know, Jesus said this was going to happen. And they didn't let bitterness take them out of the game. Man, that's an example for us. There are believers around the world right now who are going through some of those situations. I think of the ones in the North Korean prisons. Horrifically treated in many other places. Heroes, really. And Jesus has given us, you and I, something supernatural here. I'd like to read this together. This is John chapter 20, verse 19. This is right after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the best day in all of history, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, they're huddling in fear, Jesus shows up. Jesus came and stood in their midst, and he said to them, "Peace be with you." First time they've seen him since they were at a distance seeing him on the cross. Verse 20, and when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. They recognized this was Jesus. After he shows them this, he says to them again, verse 21, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." The same way that I've been sent into the world, I am now sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Isn't that interesting? Again, this is before Benny Hinn or anyone else was doing this, right? Jesus goes to his disciples and he breathes on them. He's breathing on them breath, which is what spirit really means. And he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit," which was promised, which is one of the reasons why he came. We talked about the Holy Spirit coming after Jesus was ascended and reaches heaven. He sends the Holy Spirit. But he says to them right here, "Receive the Holy Spirit," after he breathes on them. And then he says this, verse 23, "If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained." The first message of Jesus, the first instructions of Jesus after he's raised from the dead, is to breathe on them, and it's to ask them to receive the Holy Spirit. And then he's saying, "Forgive people." They're going to need this more than anything else from here on out. They know what Jesus is like. They've got his teachings on the inside. They're going to be close to him, but they're going to need to forgive because they're going to get mistreated. And guess what? They don't just need to forgive. Jesus is giving something that they need to help them forgive. He breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, here's what that's telling me. That the Holy Spirit, part of what he does is to help you and I to forgive, especially when we don't feel like we can. I have had those prayers, "Holy Spirit, help me to forgive. I am struggling with this thing, and I feel like I should be beyond this, but I'm not. This is where I am. This thing is stuck, and I'm choosing it, but it's not. Help, Holy Spirit." When I read this, the first time with these eyes, I saw that it wasn't just about me choosing to forgive, but Jesus has even provided a way to help me forgive. by the Spirit. You know, you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you to forgive, especially of those things that are deep-seated, that are a big hook, things that happened years ago, they've been there for a long time, those things that replay in your mind over and over and over and over and over and over, there's a torment. That's where you say, Holy Spirit, help. I'm choosing, but I need your power, your supernatural power, to release me from this and to help me to release forgiveness to this person. He'll do it. You have that supernatural gift. You've got, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the supernatural ability to forgive. Isn't that wonderful? Here's part of a reality too, that whether you realize it or not, you and I have offended a lot of people. We haven't just been offended, we have offended others. I've had many people come to me and told me how I've offended them. And I didn't know it. I didn't realize it. I was doing the best that I could and knew how and all that, but somehow it didn't land right. Who knows if my heart was wrong or not in that moment? I don't know. I can't fix that at that moment. The Holy Spirit can fix my heart. But I've had numerous people over the years come and tell me how I've offended them deeply. And I just can't make that better. But you know what? You and I have all done that. People have been offended by us just by living our lives. And those things are going to happen. And so it's not just us receiving or giving forgiveness away to others, but it's also recognizing I've offended other people. Lord, forgive me for that. Forgive me for any type of offense that I've done for people, knowingly or unknowingly. Because I want to walk rightly before you. I want my heart to be right. Where it's not right, help me. I don't believe we're supposed to go in there and dig around and try and fix ourselves. But again, the Holy Spirit is here to help us to realize when we are offensive, when we are doing the wrong things, when we are mistreating people, when we're not loving. He'll help us with that too. I'm so thankful. So how do you know if you have bitterness in you? How do you know if you've forgiven someone? Well, I've created a small litmus test for myself that I want to share with you that helps me to know if I have been forgiving and I've really let people go. Here's one of them. Think of a person who has wronged you, who's offended you, who's mistreated you, who's abused you, who's ripped off money from you, who's stolen. Whoever that person is, think of them for a moment in your mind. And then think about them getting blessed abundantly. They just won the lottery. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like you can rejoice with them? Or do you feel like that is not right and God needs to get them before they win something? If it's the latter, then I still am holding on to something. I still have not released them completely. I've not given them that total forgiveness. I'm still wanting, even if I've forgiven them some, maybe, but I'm still wanting God to get them. So there's that level where Jesus said, not only did he forgive, but he says, Father, forgive them. So he's got a couple of levels going. He wants us to live that way too. So that's part of my own litmus test for myself. If I've forgiven, if that person is successful, can I cheer for them? If I can, then guess what? I'm clean on the inside. I've let that go all the way. Because you know what? God will bless people. Sometimes his kindness leads people to repentance. Do you realize that? That's what the Bible says. So the kindness of God is just God being God. And I should want people who have hurt me, harmed me, done wrong things to me, for the God's kindness to find them and to help them. Then I know that I've forgiven them. But if I secretly desire bad things to happen to them, then I have not forgiven. That's how I tell for myself. That's one reason, or one of the ways. And again, I mentioned this earlier, but sometimes it's a process. Sometimes I still feel those things, though I've tried to do everything the right way and try to release this. And sometimes it's just going to take time of me doing it, asking the Holy Spirit to help me, and me choosing, asking the Holy Spirit to help me, and me choosing, asking the Holy Spirit to help me, and just doing, and then that thing just gets, it goes away. So here we are. I want you to stay free. The Lord wants you to be completely free. He doesn't want there to be a lid on what he wants to do with you. He doesn't want any restrictions on your life for where he wants to send you, use you in, the things that he wants you to do, to go for, the blessings he wants you to have, the peace that he wants you to have, the joy that he wants you to have, the freedom in the night and during your sleep to not be tormented by any thought. The Lord wants all those things for you. So what I'd like to do is just, let's respond. If while I've been speaking, there have been people that have come to your mind, or maybe while you had that person in your mind just a moment ago, and the thoughts toward them aren't all the way good, right, you don't want them to be blessed. Let's get free of that today. The Holy Spirit will help us. The Lord's going to help us right now. Do you believe that? It's true. That's what he does. He helps us. He's there to do it right now. So let's just, if this is you, let's just all go to the Lord. And you can even ask the Lord, is there someone I haven't forgiven? And if you know who that person is, if there is someone, and you know, for some people, it's God. There are a lot of people angry at God. And if it's him, and I've been angry at God before, because it didn't work out the way that I wanted it to. He didn't do what I wanted him to in the timing that I wanted him to. So I needed to get free and forgive him. Not that he had done anything to me, but I needed to let go. I needed to forgive. So if there's someone or it's God, let's just think about them for a moment and let's ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you. Jesus, thank you that you not only have forgiven me, you've forgiven us, but you have given us this ministry of forgiveness. You've given us the ability by your Spirit to choose with our will first and by the power of your Spirit next to forgive and to let go anything and everything that has been done to us, done against us, or to someone else that we love. Any secondhand offense, we ask right now that you would help us, Holy Spirit, to release and to let go. Help us, Holy Spirit, to release and to let go, to forgive like Corrie Ten Boom forgave, to forgive like Frederick Douglass forgave, like you forgave Jesus. Give us that, and may we for the rest of our lives be unwilling to drink bitterness, be unwilling to swallow and take into our being the poison of bitterness, of offense, that we would, as you warned us, that we know tribulation in that sense of being hated will come. Lord, would you put a guard over our hearts? Every single one of us, I'm asking for a guard over our hearts, over our minds, that we'd forgive quickly, instantly. Holy Spirit, that there would just be this water off a duck's back type of thing over our spirit, that we would not let, there would be no place for offense to land on the inside. And I ask for freedom right now for those who have been hurt deeply, abused deeply, wounded deeply, offended by someone near to them, by a brother, by a spouse, by a sister, by a close friend, by a parent, by a child. Those who have been wounded deeply, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would help them to release that and to get that out, even now. Right now, as they are desiring to forgive, Holy Spirit, I ask you to help in this moment to pull that thing out right there. Pull that unforgiveness out. Pull that bitterness out. Lord, suck out the poison, the bitterness in their soul in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to go ahead of us, to keep us quickly aware of when offense is coming our way so that we don't take it into ourselves. That we would be like that bishop that was just on this clip, that we would forgive quickly. We'd even give more, that we would forgive and let go, that we would release others. And even those who owe us things right now, we just release them. We look at them, we say, I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm not gonna keep a record of wrong against your life because of what you've done. I erase it. I forgive you. I let go. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, we've got some wonderful teams of people here, ministry teams that will be coming up here in just a moment. If you would like someone to pray with you regarding this right here, I encourage you to come. Sometimes you need someone to just surround you, lay hands on you, help you to forgive, to let go, to release. They'll help you do that. The Lord really loves you. He wants us entirely free. I also want you to enjoy our prophetic teams, which are teams of encouragement, to give you an encouraging word. They're going to pray, ask from heaven for a word from the Lord to give to you. Don't miss out on that. You can do that next week as well. We have that every week. If you'd stand with me. You guys okay? How you feeling? Good. It's going to be an awesome week. You're Teflon coated. Going to forgive. You know what? You're going to get an opportunity to forgive. That happens every week. The Lord loves us that way. He just says, this is the way it is, but I'm empowering you. So you have the power this week to forgive like you've never forgiven. The Holy Spirit is going to help us do that every moment. Maybe when you walk out that door, whatever it is, we're going to forgive. We're going to let go. I bless you. May you have an awesome week, a great day. Don't forget your kids. See you guys next week.